sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I am John.
John Seppi? Or is that?
John Floresi.
Well, I need an Italian name.
Rolando Alvarezzi.
Good enough. Welcome to the show. This week, we review Demons as we continue.
Demoni.
As we continue our tour of Italy by way of Berlin.
By way of Berlin. Yeah. As Americans visit every area of Europe.
As always, John will give us a plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, and then we'll do deep spoiler analysis. But John.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Did you forget something?
So I forgot to follow the pod. Hold on. I need to write this down. So where can I follow the pod?
Glad you asked. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Okay. YouTube.
Yes. Yeah, YouTube.
Sponsor us,
please. Or at least give us premium for free. All right, Demons. Another, we've continued our incestuous Italian, I don't know if that's the right word, a blending of movies, you know?
Lightly connected.
Thank you. Right? Incestuous is a little strong.
I mean, this is another Lamberto Bava.
Yes.
We did Delirium. We weren't crazy about it.
To say the least, yes.
And then the director of Stage Fright makes a cameo as the silver chrome mask guy.
Yes, in this. Michel Solvi?
Solvi,
something like that.
And then the redheaded lady.
There's a lot of cross-pollination of producers, directors, and actors.
This is correct. They got... Oh, also Carl Zinni, right? Came out in Delirium as well. Mm-hmm. Nicoletta Elmi, who played the little redheaded witch girl. And Deep Red.
And Deep Red, yeah.
And the... major connecting factors of all these movies is Dario Argento.
Yes, horror legend Dario Argento. This Argento Bava connection, it's like they treat us like family. Like,
yes.
Like the Olive Garden.
Like and we have resident DJ Claudio Simonetti.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make as many. They're giving us a tour of Italy. They're giving us so many, like, I'm trying to find as many.
It's like when you watch these movies, your family.
Yeah, endless breadsticks.
Sure.
Salads. Yeah. I don't know. The only true Italian place is an Olive Garden. So we all know that.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we can get into Demons. One of your absolute favorite films.
Yes. Scored by Claudio Simonetti, which obviously we all know is the keyboardist of the progressive rock band Goblin.
Obviously, yeah.
And no, we did not just learn that 5 minutes before recording.
Yeah, we did ChatGPT.
I didn't start going down like, Claudio Simonetti did Deep Red. I was like, no, it was Goblin, right? We're just talking about him. Like, oh, he is Goblin. Cool.
Yes. Before we...
You can't expect me to remember all these Italian names.
No, they're all the same. They all sound like pasta dishes.
Why aren't they named Tony? They should all be named Tony.
Tony. Tone. Alrighty, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3, 4, Demoni. Americans go to free movie. I'm just kidding. I know they're not American. I don't know what they're supposed to be in this movie.
Yeah.
I guess they're German. I don't know.
It's not really like state or country specific, right?
No, it's weird, yeah. Because then you get the punk guys too, and they're like, I'm not sure.
I think it's supposed to anyway. Be Italian, dude. And then but it was shot in Berlin. Right? Is that, would that be fair?
I don't know. I guess, you know, something I will give these movies is they're trying to make it as ambiguous as possible, except for Stage Fright, which was trying to convince you that it was America, and we didn't know that until after the movie.
Right, yeah.
Coming in at number 2 for Demoni, suckers stuck watching Asylum's Mask.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that? That company's still got to be around, right?
Asylum? Yeah. Asylum? They're probably doing something. Right. Yeah.
Now they're making a Demons.
Nice.
Coming in at number one for Demoni. Where the hell is Liz?
Famous line.
Liz.
Yeah.
What is going on the screen, Liz? Liz, stay away from that mask. Liz. It's like, how does a blind guy know there's a mask here? Why is a blind guy going to the movie?
Yeah, there's so many... Any questions? All right, tell me why this is your favorite movie. One of your favorite movies.
When did I watch this film? I have always been a lover of 80s horror movies. Mm-hmm. And I think I had exhausted a point of watching all the 80s horror movies that I thought existed, but they were all just American movies. And I was like, why am I not watching, you know, different countries' versions of 80s movies? And, you know, we get like classics like this where I was so ignorant to how, like, how popular like giallo films were and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this movie's great. It like scratched some sort of itch I didn't know I had. It's straightforward, it's super campy, but it's, you know, full on what it wants to be. And then it's got a 80s hair metal slash thrash metal soundtrack.
Yeah.
You get some, I mean, maybe a spoiler, but you get some dude riding a dirt bike over theater seats.
Yeah.
Which has to be impossible, but I love it.
Yeah. I would echo the same thing. I think it's like a, doesn't really like overthink itself. It's like, it's kind of, a way I would describe it to you the other night was like confident, right? Like it's unapologetic.
Yes.
Itself, you know, very, very thin on plot, you know, but still it like delivers on the premise, right? That there's a theater that's basically being invaded by demons.
Yeah. Showing a cursed film, I guess.
Yeah. Very thinly. Plot. I thought that was an interesting thing, but yeah, it's like there's blood, there's like chaos, there's like pure 80s in this movie.
There's a demon dog ?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that was, but
yeah.
It's always like something that catches me off guard because I always forget about that random, like somebody starts to fall apart and like emerges like this weird demon thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The setup is pretty simple.
It's got pimps.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know, actually.
It's like basically this girl, Cheryl, gets an invitation to this movie. She takes her friend and then there's other people at the screening and the movie they're showing is somehow paralleling the events that are about to happen in the movie, which I always thought was kind of weird, right? Like, not weird, but that's not a good way to describe it. It's interesting how like the movie is basically the sort of thing that's going on about to happen in the movie, right? Yeah. So it's kind of like, is it a documentary or like what is it? But it's clearly a movie that they're showing, right? I don't have it in front of me. It was called like something of Notre Dame, right?
The Curse of Nostradamus or something like that.
Yeah.
Which that might be wrong. I'm sorry, guys, but it's something like mm-hmm. that. I think it's funny because it's like one of the jokes that the writers, which, you know, there's like five writers, they're all like Italian horror movie legends, help write this movie. They said one of the biggest jokes of the movie is if they had just tried to watch the rest of the film or fast forward, they would know how to like end it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I did read.
But
this.
They decided to destroy the movie halfway through first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, they all get in the theater and then they get locked in, but not just locked in. It's like it gets like walled off, like the doors never existed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is weird, right? How'd that happen? Yeah. Theater magical? Or?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it was like one of those things that the theater that they go to, which was a random little Easter egg in the original Silent Hill game. Nobody had heard of it. So this place just appeared out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the Metropole, I think is what it's called. Yes.
Do you remember the other movie we reviewed? It's like literally the same plot. This is The Last Matinee, but it was like Spanish. More of a slasher. This was more of like a haunted house.
Oh, yeah. God, I had forgotten about that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that's why I was excited to watch it because I was like, oh, it's very similarly plotted. So I thought like you would like it. And I think you're like lukewarm on that.
I thought it was just okay. It was just clearly a very indie effort.
Yeah, I don't think that movie quite hit the highs of this movie. I think like because it's, yeah.
This movie went.
Is this a giallo movie?
Balls deep. 80s balls deep.
Yeah. Is it a Jalo movie? Because it's like not really a slasher. It's not really like a killer.
There is a mystery.
It's demons. It's more of like a haunted house movie because they're like trapped.
Yeah, somewhere. I would say like haunted theaters, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
So Phantom of the Opera.
This is closer and parallel to Stage Fright.
So. Yes. Yeah, I would. Yes, yeah.
Which some have suggested that Stage Fright is actually what influenced Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Totally untrue, but yeah. Interesting fact.
Andy Weber, Andy Lloyd Webber said that he saw Stage Fright.
I feel like this movie, it's a perfect example of like Italian horror where it's a lot of like style over substance, right? But I've never found this movie boring. Like, it's relenting, and there's like demons, there's gore, there's action, there's like horror moments, and then there's kind of like this small group of people that try to survive, and we sort of
there's a love story
for some reason. And it's like, and then like it has like this wild soundtrack of mix of like metal and 80s metal rock, and it just like. It just has like,
and then a score, on top of that.
It just has like this unrelenting, like surreal vibe to it, which I think was like if I went to this movie not knowing much about it and watching it, I would be like, I had a great time with this movie. Is it the best movie I ever saw? No, but I had a really like
which movie?
This one, Demons. Like if I were to just randomly
The Curse of Nostradamus, because you'd be stuck in a theater.
If it was 1985 and I just randomly picked a movie to watch and I went to go watch it, I would be like, this is a lot of fun. Because
I think this would blow my mind in 1985.
Yeah,
especially because I was almost born.
If let me ask you a question. So curious, has there been a movie you've walked into blindly and gotten, you know,
like in a movie theater?
Yeah.
Or because this one I watched blindly. I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm going to check it out.
I think it's more like, I think that the question, it would be a little tougher if it's like, I blindly just picked a movie and walked in and watched it and had this incredible experience. Do you have any?
God, I'm trying to think if I've ever, because I'm sure it's happened. I used to just go to the movie theater just to go to the movie theater a lot. I don't know. Let me think on that.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'll be 5 minutes of me going,
I think it would be really cool that if they do a double feature, they show the finished version of The Curse of Nostradamus and then immediately start cutting to Demons right afterwards. So we get the full experience and see how like these characters made mistakes that the other characters didn't, because they're the ones that defeated the demons. And it could set up how the demons got here in this theater in the first place. A little more backstory.
God, I'm still thinking, sorry.
It's okay.
You know, the last movie that I kind of did that too without, I didn't know the context of it. I knew it was a movie people were talking about, but I was just like, oh, let me go watch it. A couple of them. It's like I saw Sorry Baby when it came to the Los Feliz 3, so it was before it had a theatrical release, and that movie really touched me. Same thing with The Left-Handed Girl, I think is what it's called.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
It came out, it kind of came and went, but it was a beautiful movie. I didn't know, it was the same guy that wrote Florida Project.
Okay.
And I guess what was that other movie that he did last? Or
Anora?
Anora, yeah.
Sean
But Baker. The director of the movie is the person that he uses as his, she collaborates with him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Oh, nice. I would.
Oh, actually, Nomadland. We just talked about that. that's another movie. I was like, I think I heard about this and I watched it on a plane and I was like, this movie's beautiful.
okay. Yeah.
Okay. That one and the one where Olivia Colman works at a movie theater and she starts to have a relationship with a young guy. It's like 1980 something.
I don't know.
The Majestic something, or I don't know.
Oh, I'm not sure about that one.
So far, none of these are horror movies. I'm failing this question.
They don't have to be a horror movies. It's just, I'm just curious if you had like a unique experience in a movie theater. You know?
They have to be horror movies.
Or what's the point of anything? is there anything other you want to get into specific about before we get into spoilers? Oh, explain to me this. Why is there a blind man in this movie?
It's just an inside joke with the way they made the movie. They thought it was funny that a blind guy went to go watch a movie.
And then she has like this, like she's dressed in business professional, I guess. And he's helping her along. But what's the relationship there? Are they like...
I think they're supposed to be involved and she's cheating on him with some other
rando guy
that shows up to the movie.
Yeah. I felt like this was like heavily plotted but like weirdly under delivered in its like explanations. Like it didn't really like,
yeah, because it's just something
literally this guy it's like in business suit comes in halfway through like this movie starting or whatever and then like sits next to her and then like they cut back to them, they cut away to the other characters in the theater, and then they cut to them and they're like making out like hardcore, they're about to have sex.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what happened, what'd I miss?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, they, and then he, the blind guy, it's funny, he's intuitive enough to know don't touch that, and she's like, what are you talking about, don't touch that mask, and she's like, what mask? And then it cuts to
oh yeah, that's right, in the beginning,
what we could assume is a pimp and his two employees is what I always gathered.
You think they're getting healthcare?
Then, like, late?
No, just kidding.
Yeah, I think so. But like later, like one of the ladies is the person that puts on the mask and it cuts her face, and that's when it starts to parallel the movie of like, you're cursed now. It's demons. Yeah, blah, yeah, blah, blah. Yeah. But she gets sick, and then the pimp, which he's a great character too. This guy is like a big dude with like a horseshoe haircut style thing. Tony is his name in the movie. He's like kind of rude to her, like, quit screwing around. That's what you get for messing with stuff.
Like, we should mention this is a dubbed, of course. This is not.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's like weird. Like people are. It's almost like whoever did the dub gave everybody unique characteristics, and some of them were a little more racist than others. But
fair. Very fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like. Overtly, just, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
I will say this is leaps and bounds better dubbing than fucking Deep Red, which I swear the same guy just did everybody's voice when it came to Italian.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Just daunting whenever the female characters would talk, because I'm like, I don't know who's talking right now. Yeah, there's a one of the ladies gets sick, and this guy's like trying to help her, and the pimp sort of character Tony goes over and he's like, who are you? He's like, get out of the way, she's my friend. I'm like, what?
It's also,
there's a lot of weird one-liners in this movie.
Yeah, because it's like these guys are like interpreting very poorly written in English, so they could, so yeah. It's not the best, you know, it's very blunt, no. It's not subtle, or there's no nuance to the language, you know.
Yeah. But it still works, I don't know.
Yeah, it does. Okay, cool. Do you want to go to spoilers?
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
It was demons. Well...
Well, yeah, I think we glossed over. There is a secondary story where a bunch of punks in a car are doing cocaine all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this scene, yeah.
And it's like, I thought it was funny because there's one girl in the movie, or one, was it two girls in the punk group, or just one? Yeah. Right? And they just, all the two dudes are just aggressively calling her a whore every 10 seconds. Like making fun of her, like, oh, that's because you born with your legs open, stuff like that. I'm like, what the fuck? They find a way into the theater that we thought was blocked off because they were getting chased by cops.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have found a way out, I think, right?
Right, yeah. That's tangentially why they're there, loosely.
Yeah, and then another, like, sort of a plane crashes into the theater, too.
Yeah.
But at the end, our now new protagonist, who is just like a secondary character, is like gonna save the day by taking the dirt bike that was staged. So the lobby of the theater had like props from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls out the katana, which he had to kill his friend with as a favor because yeah. He was turning into a demon.
Yeah.
Comes out and accepts... I forgot the name of the song, but the band accept song starts playing and he starts riding his dirt bike over the seats, just katanning demons' heads off.
Yeah. There was an enormous amount of time, going back a little bit, there's an enormous amount of time spent on one of the guys. They're all doing coke through a Coca-Cola can, and then one of them spills it because they're fighting over it. And then the main guys are like, you guys need to clean it up. And then they're like, spend time watching him clean up. I was like, what is this in the movie?
Yeah,
like,
why are we spending a weird secondary story?
Yeah, but like, just, it just feels like it's filling up time, right? Like this one bit, yeah. And then they kind of like like you said, tie it to them. They end up at the movie theater and stuff.
It's they just keep going back to them so they can play Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Fast as a Shark, I accept. It was going to bug me if I didn't remember that. It became one of my favorite songs because of this movie. Mm-hmm. So I had it in like so many different playlists.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a pretty rock, 80s rock metal soundtrack. Very of the time.
Yeah.
Well,
good job, Baba.
And I guess like there's like people that survive. It's kind of like any zombie movie, right? Like
apocalyptic.
Yeah, yeah. Like they kind of certain. Well,
it's just strange
because
they set up the movie like this is an isolated, like, oh, we can't get out of this theater. This is happening in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, no. Oh, the demons escape. That's right. When the punks break in, I think some demons escape, and I think they go out to like, oh, the world is in chaos.
It's raining because every rain. Italian movie there's rain.
Italian movie. But I just enjoy that they immediately run into like a group of survivors, and I'm like, how long is the movie they're watching? How did this all happen in like 3 hours? Did you think about that, or it's like, what? How is there already like a team of survivors?
Yeah. Maybe this. Yeah, that was a little weird. Yeah, because the guys at the very end, they pick up the kids or the couple or whatever.
The new couple. Yeah. Cheryl, right?
Cheryl, George, yeah. Right? Something like that.
George and Cheryl, I think. Yeah, and one last little bit is they think they're safe, and then Cheryl's looking away from camera, so you know she's turning, and then she turns around and she's a demon, and George is like, oh, and it takes like they have the little kid shotgun her off the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was like, man, they got the kid to shoot them.
Yeah, and then credits, we're done.
Yep.
I don't know if like we've said a ton about the movie, but it's one of those movies that you just have to watch and experience, and I think it's just a really fun ride, the whole
movie. Yeah, it's never boring.
Yeah, like I think if like you like something kind of different or unique, then this is the movie you would put on.
To me, this is in the same vein. Like I wish I could fully explain how I understand what their respective genres are, but to me this is Evil Dead.
Okay, yeah.
It's like the same idea, the same sort of camp, aggressive, you know.
Style first, filmmaking.
Yeah. So I think that's also why I like really love this movie. It's like it gives me the same sort of feeling I get when I watch Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Arousal.
Arousal. I like that meme where it's like, I'm disgusted, and then they cut to the guy. It has like a picture of his with the boner on. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Okay, cool. Curious about your rating now.
It's going to be high, yeah.
Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give me? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give the money 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I wanted to say 7, but that felt too low, and 9 felt too high. I wouldn't put it in the upper echelons like of a 10 or 9 quite there, but it was enjoyable, fun movie to watch. So yeah, I'd give it an 8 as well.
No. It's like once you watch Come True, it's really hard to live up to.
Yeah, we've never been able to top it.
It's like
the linchpin.
Blood Ride, Come True, yeah. John Carpenter's Suburban Screams.
What is it? Chapel Wait.
Oh, yeah. Chapel Wait. Wait.
Chapel Wait. Yeah. Chapel Wait.
You remember we were talking about like, yeah, we've never reviewed a horror movie with
Adrian Brody.
Like, oh, wait, we did an entire series.
Damn.
Of this terrible vampire show.
Yeah, that was wild. We forgot about that. I mean, rightfully so. It's not very good. But
no, it's kind of boring.
From is almost back, so I can't wait for that. All right, guys, gals, I'm Binary Pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Bye-bye. That's my Italian. Thank you.